children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Sipporah and the other was Paul, I would assume. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. For I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that into a good and a large land, into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have so seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Praise be unto God.
Freedom. 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 Do we, are we conceivably even able in our condition to think and to know how precious freedom is? You see, my friends, you've always been free. You were born free. Some of us were born rich. Some of us were born poor. Some of us were born in the mountains. Some of us born in the plain. Some of us were born one race or another. But my friend, we've all, as Americans, been born free. And all of our lives, we've been free. I tremble to think that the generations that's coming after us will not be as free as we were. When we started in the first grade down at Nares Elementary a year or two ago, we were absolutely free. We came out of the hollows here in the hills, came to town. We were free people. We wore what we wanted to wear, went where we wanted to go, attended what we wanted to attend, and acknowledged that God was our creator and that God was the Lord of this land. We were taken to school where teachers prayed over the classroom, sang hymns in the classroom, and prayed prayers in the classroom. And I thank God for those good old teachers that did that. Amen. We lived in a world that was so apart from the world we live in today. But I have to tell you something. The cry of the oppressed, the downtrodden, and the enslaved from all generations and all over the world rises up to meet us. In our lesson today, we find the children of Israel who had been set free from the bondage of Egypt looking back, and Moses writing the book of Exodus. And we understand that after over 400 years, the Israelites had come down during a time of famine, stayed in Egypt, lived in Egypt, prospered in Egypt, and the people in Egypt prospered by them being there. What a wonderful thing. They grew, they multiplied, they filled the earth. Their lands and their crops filled the ground, and the Lord blessed them in many mighty in wonderful ways. And yet, there came a time when people forgot why the Israelites were in Egypt. They forgot about Joseph. You see, if it had not been for Joseph, and it had been not been for Joseph's God, and it had not been for the Hebrew family that he came from, all of Egypt and most of the civilized world around that part of the earth would have perished in a horrible famine. But God used a slave elevated from the dungeons and the pits of Egypt to the highest office in the land to save the people. Sadly, 400 years later, people forgot, and the king forgot, how they got blessed. They forgot how they got there. They forgot about Joseph. No one told the story. It's kind of like our history classes today. They don't tell the whole story. They don't tell the whole story of what's going on and what's happening and what's happening. And our history is trying to be obliterated right before our eyes. And my brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, we do not need to forget those who went before us. We do not need to forget. No, they were not perfect. No, everything they did was not right. No, everything that went on was not straight out of heaven or Jerusalem or something. They had their ups, they had their downs, they had their faults, their failures, like everybody else. But as you look back over the centuries, look back over the times that are past, my brothers and sisters, you have to understand that there were some men and women, boys and girls, families, who walked across this country with a Bible and a copy of Pilgrim's Progress and settled this land. No, everything they did was not right. Everything they did was not perfect. But my friend, let us not forget to honor who they are and what they've done. You see, my brothers and sisters, in every age, in every race, in every culture, there have been those who subjected other people to confinement and oppression and things that should not ever have been. That's always been true in every age. And the cry of the oppressed and the cry of the downtrodden and the cry of the enslaved rises up from the ground and rises up through the ages and filters up to us and on up to heaven. I'm sure that sometime during that 400 and some years that the Israelites were in Egypt, I'm sure they looked at each other. In fact, as the Bible said in one place, that God heard them when they spoke each to the other. Day after day, they must have talked. They must have said, well, God promised that someday there would be a deliverer. They must have said that someday God had promised that we would be free from this. Wonder how long it will be. Wonder when he will work. Wonder what it will take to set us free. And day after day and year after year, no, they did not get Saturday and Sunday off. No, they did not get a half day off for good behavior. From sun up to sundown, they worked in the bricks and in the quarries of Egypt. From sun up to sundown, they gave themselves to the glory of Egypt and sapped the very life out of the whole nation of Israel. When their babies were born, they were ordered to be killed, thrown into the Nile to the crocodiles, dashed against the wall to do away with their little brains. Well, I hate to say that, but they do that some places in America here today in the name of medical science. Sad, sad thing that we go through with. But the cry of pain among those people and among all the people of Israel, God said, I heard their cry. I heard them crying. God said, I heard them talking. I listened to them as they went around day by day and all of the things that were going on in their life. And they cried out, and they cried out for deliverance. And if you put your ear down to the ground and you listen, somebody down there was saying, freedom, freedom. Oh, if we could only have freedom. Some mama carrying a little baby that she was terrified was going to be killed when it was born was saying, freedom. Oh, if I only had freedom. Some man who could not hardly stagger from one day to the next and provide for his family to eat as he worked in the brick kilns and the quarries of Egypt was crying freedom. Oh, if God would only send us freedom. If God would only give us freedom. All over the land, they cried out for freedom. And one day, when nobody thought they was looking, God came down on the side of a mountain in a burning bush and spoke to a man named Moses and said, "Go down, Moses. Go down to Egypt land and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. Pharaoh's got my people," we used to sing, "and he won't let them go." And God said, "I'm going to deliver these people out of this bondage that they're in. I'm going to set them free and I'm going to make them whole." You see, my friends, we cry out all through the ages. People from North America, native people that were run over, indigent people who were run over here in America, and their property rights were not considered, and who they were was not considered. Slaves brought from Africa in horrible slave ships were brought to keep the fields, raise the sugar cane in the Caribbean, raise the cotton in the South. It wasn't the right thing to do, but it was done. But they were not the only ones, my friend. Human beings have been enslaved in every race, culture, and civilization that's ever existed. And if you read your history book, and oh, God teach us to learn some history in this country. But if you read your history books, my friend, you find out very quickly that as they came and as they were subjugated to this, all of this, and the people cried out one to another, "Freedom, freedom. Oh, if we could only be free, if only we could do that." My brothers and sisters, you have arrived at a generation that is free up until now. You have arrived at a generation that's enjoyed the freedom of the world that no one has ever known. No generation at any time, at any place, has ever been as rich as we are, has ever been as well clothed as we are, has been as well fixed as we are, and no generation has ever been as free as the generation that we grew up in. But I have to tell you something, it didn't come for free. We're here today as free men, and we're here rejoicing in our freedom this 244th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But my friend, I have to tell you something. It wasn't freed. Those people put their lives and names on the line, and all that they had, they risked that we might be free people. And freedom has been maintained, not just because it's there, but my friends, freedom has been maintained because somebody, generation after generation, it's an ongoing thing. I look at the anniversary of World War II, and I think about what our parents and grandparents went through in the First and Second World War. I think of the horrors that they went through during the war between the states, or commonly called the Civil War. I think of all the horrors that through the ages men and women have been subjected to, that the freedom in America continue to be the freedom that we enjoy today. Do we have anybody in here that served in the armed services of the United States? Would you stand? Would you people that have served in the armed services, would you stand? Amen, and be proud of it, because we're proud of you. Amen. Thank you so much. Let us never forget, my friends, that in these 244 years, brothers and sisters, we have maintained this freedom and this prosperity and this joy that we have because we have been had citizens who were willing to give and to sacrifice themselves, willing to give up the preciousness of life and the joy of life, that others may have this wonderful privilege that we have today. But I have to tell you, my friend, am I sure that my little grandson back there, who's 2 years old, am I sure that when he gets grown, he's going to be in a land as free as I'm in today, or as free as I grew up in? No, I'm not sure of that. I wish I was. I wish I could stand here and tell you concrete, positively, that our grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to grow up and be free men and free women and have a free life like we had. But my friend, I cannot tell you that. I can tell you this today, that we, the people of the United States, our Constitution and our government, our soldiers and sailors and Air Force people and space people, now we got a new branch of the government along with our Marines, are standing up, my friend, for what's right. But I have to tell you, if you took the armies of the United States away and you took the people of the United States away in our government, I can tell you the Antichrist would be marching through the streets of Washington tomorrow afternoon. The Antichrist is held back. He that now letteth will let. And my friend, I'm telling you, the scripture says the power that God has invested in this country. Do you realize that the great missionary efforts of this world that have taken the gospel around the world have largely happened because of the people of the United States of America, their generosity and their willing to give, that the Bible can be translated and taken to every nation, kindred, and tongue? My friend, be vigilant. Do not be drunken, the New Testament says. Do not let yourself be carried away and be drunken, but let yourself be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, we stand between anarchy and Antichrist and civilization and civility. My brothers and sisters, if you're not blind, can you see a coarseness coming into our society? Can you imagine the things that people are saying on television and radio, cursing and all of those kind of things, and talking about things that ought never to be talked about in public? My brothers and sisters, have you paid attention as you look at society around you today? Can you see, my friend, that we are losing ground morally? We've given ourselves over to supporting the killing of babies before they're born, given ourselves over to supporting, from the pulpit, God help us, homosexuality and adultery and fornication as though it were okay. I'm telling you, my friend, there is a God who sits in heaven on the throne of his glory, and I can tell you he loves this world and he loves you, but he's not going to put up with sin forever. No more than he did with Sodom and Gomorrah will he not with us today. I'm telling you, we are the ones who are now standing between the precipice of having no hope and anarchy and civilization. The scripture said in the last days there would be fearful sights coming on the earth. The scripture said that men's hearts would be failing them for fear looking at the things that are coming. My brothers and sisters, as we face this uncertain future, and as our country faces this uncertain future, and as we look down the road not knowing what it takes, how many of us in here are under 20 years old this morning? Anybody under 20? Yeah, we got some under 20. How many of you under 30 this morning? Yeah, there you go. All right. The Lord's by nature. We're moving out, folks. I'm not going to be here forever. I may not even be here very long, to tell you the truth. But I have to tell you something. God hasn't changed. And God will be God, young people, in your generation. Don't you sit there and listen to Brother Eddie talking about what he's seen and talk about what Sister Effie saw or what Brother Sheffield saw. By the way, he just passed his 200th birthday this weekend. And you just don't look at all that and say, oh, I wish God could move like that. In this day and time, my friend, God hasn't changed. God loves you young people, and God loves this young generation. And my friend, let's not condemn them. Let's stand behind them and hold them and push them forward. Amen. My brothers and sisters, as we look at this generation coming on, they need the same thing we needed or the other people before us needed. They need the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the strength of the Word of God to stand with them, that they can stand. I want to see young people out of this congregation and out of this hall. And I guess I need to sit down and do it sometime. But through the years, just a little country church like we've had, I can tell you there are literally hundreds of preachers have been and are out there on the field of battle who descended from this place. And my friend, we want to put some more seed out there. Amen? We want to put more people out there on the battlefield getting the things done for God. You see, my friend, the only way we can ever truly be free is by the freedom of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, "He whom the Son has set free is free indeed." My brothers and sisters, God has come today to set you free. And listen, God knows the oppression and the cry. Did you see that article in the paper the other day, the Roanoke paper, talking about how many deaths we have in Giles County alone because of drug overdoses? Don't sit around and start talking about, oh, when Sister Gilmer and them came in here fighting them steals and them liquor makers. Yes, they did, my friend, and cleaned up the community and cleaned it out. But let me tell you something. We got some house cleaning we need to do in our generation. We need I'm not taking up for our granddaddy's moonshining ways or nothing like that. But I have to tell you, my friend, far stronger than that is the power of the narcotics that are loose in our land. And my friend, we need to be set free from that. We need to be set free of the plagues that's coming. I mean, good gracious, 2020's been enough. I don't want to see any more of it, do you? Dust storm from Africa and locust plagues in the woods and viruses consuming the people and all the things happening, my friend. And if we don't watch it, we're going to collapse the very fabric of our society and of our economy here in America. We need to pray. Folks, when you go home, not just public prayers like I'm praying today and you're praying, but when you go home and you kneel by your bed or wherever you pray, or go in your car or out in the field or whatever, my friend, you need to pray for Donald Trump, the president, whoever the president would be. You need to pray for the Congress, and you need to pray for this land, that God in this land will send his grace. My friend, we don't need a war between the races to break loose in this country. We need to pray against that, and we need to practice love, and we need to practice understanding that that will not happen. My friend, God Almighty loves every human being on this earth and died for their sins. I don't care what color they are or where they came from or who they are. God Almighty loves every human being. And we need to pray. And we need to call, my friend. I hope that ministers of the gospel all over America today will stand in the pulpit and say things similar to what I'm saying to you. I hope that somebody somewhere today will call down fire from heaven and send revival among our people and change us from the people of the world to be the people of God. Oh, that we could just be the simple, quiet, loving people of God. Amen. Would you give God a hand for what he has done for America? Would you stand? I'm going to come down from the pulpit. I think you can pick me up.